Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right. Would you turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2? We're going to be in the only story in the Bible where Jesus is an adolescent. Okay, so I don't even know if you know this story, but Jesus is 12 years old in this story, and so it's very unique. I'm going to encourage you to take notes again. There will be an opportunity about two-thirds of the way through the message where I'm going to have you write down some things that hopefully will lead the discussions tonight with your cabins. We're talking tonight about how Jesus is the wise king. Now, let me start off with this metaphor. Have you ever tried to bake a cake without a recipe? I hope not. If you try to bake a cake without a recipe, odds are it's not going to turn out very well. What if I just take the ingredients that I can recall and I start to put them together? I know that there's some flour. I know that there's some eggs. I know that there's some sugar, and I start putting them together. And then I think I remember seeing somebody else bake a cake, and they put a little bit of salt in there. And so I put a half cup of salt in there. Yeah, some of you are bakers in this room, right? Because that's a little bit much. What if I can think of there's baking something? What if I remember that it's baking powder, but I don't have any in my pantry, so I'm going to substitute what I think might work instead, and I put baking soda in there. Would the cake turn out? What if I really like sugar, and it sounds brilliant to me to just keep on dumping in the sugar? It wouldn't turn out, right? I remember one time I was, this was when my wife and I were newly married, and we were excited for the first time to host my sister Emily and her husband at our house, and we were going to cook something we've never cooked before. And I was in charge of the pasta sauce. And I remember I thought a clove of garlic was the whole bulb. But if you've ever cooked with garlic before, you know that garlic can go from very tasty to very bitter if you add too much. And so there was like 10 times more garlic in this pasta sauce. And I'll never forget the look on my brother-in-law's face when he tasted it. And they were trying to be polite. But then I had my first bite. I'm just like, guys, you don't have to eat that. There's something wrong here. And they're like, what did you put in there? And I said, well, you know, I put in some garlic. How much garlic? I put in a clove of garlic. You didn't put in a clove of garlic. I had put in the whole bulb, and it ruined it all. When you try to bake a cake, or you try to make a sauce, or you try to do anything in the kitchen, you need a recipe. Because it's so easy to ruin the whole thing, especially if you're putting it in the oven. Wisdom, it doesn't come from just randomly throwing things in your brain and expecting it to turn out okay. You need a time-tested plan from a good source. Wisdom is accumulated by going to a good source, a reliable source, a time-tested source. But my fear is that some of us, we just go around putting together what looks good or sounds good or what we've seen others do. And we think, well, if it works for them, it'll work for me. And all of a sudden, our life is out of control because we're not following a time-tested plan from a good source. Wisdom is critical. And the challenge question I want you to write down first is this: on whose wisdom will you build your life? On whose wisdom will you build your life? Where will you go to know what's right and wrong? Where will you go to for guidance, for inspiration, for direction? Let's look at a fun story from the Bible, from Luke chapter 2, that shows us where Jesus was going for wisdom when he was 12 years old. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 41. It says, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. Let me pause, give you a little bit of context. If you were Jewish, you would have certain times of the year where you would travel for feasts. And in this case, Jesus and Jesus' family and relatives and probably some friends too, they're caravanning to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover. Oftentimes, they would travel in large groups of relatives and close friends. They did this for safety. They did this so that they could combine their resources. And then they would spend a week in Jerusalem celebrating Passover. This included offering special Passover sacrifices, having special worship services, feast meals, of course. And it was also, there was a social aspect to it as well, where they looked forward to this. It was their time away. It was their time of rest and recreation. So let's look at verse 43 now. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. This story gives encouragement to every parent. Because even Mary and Joseph, they had a time where they left their son and the Son of God behind for a whole day. Now, I have four kids, and I have left them places, I will confess. I've left one of them at church. I've left another at school one time when I'd gotten all the others and thought that mom had picked up the other, and sure enough, no, we had just left them behind at school. I was at a field trip that I was helping to chaperone and got everybody back on the bus and then realized I had left my own daughter in SeaWorld. It happens. You'll find out someday. But can you imagine the horror that Mary and Joseph felt when they realized that Joseph was not in their group and they were already a day away from Jerusalem? A couple weeks ago, I mentioned that I went to an Inter Miami soccer game. I took my son and his friend. I actually have a picture to show you. My son is the redhead, and we took his friend and him to an Inter Miami soccer game. This is a 17,000 seat stadium. And in his desire to get an autograph after the game, Reese disappeared. And there was people all around. I had lost my son's friend at a stadium. And it went on for minutes, which seemed like hours. And it was even to the point where I texted a few others that I knew were at the game and asked them honestly and with great embarrassment if they had seen Reese because I had lost him at a stadium. Can you imagine that one day journey back that Mary and Joseph made to Jerusalem, wondering where their son Jesus was? It says then in verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. If you have your Bible and a pen or a pencil, underline three words here: sitting, listening, asking them questions. Sitting, listening, asking them questions. This is the posture of someone who is going to learn, who is going to find wisdom. Jesus is sitting amongst the teachers, in other words, older, wiser Jews in this case, and he's learning from them. It says in verse 47, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus, at this point in his life, not far off of your age, by the way, is prioritizing learning, getting advice from older, wiser people of the same faith. This is a posture of humility. Now, I know you can learn a bunch of things online these days. You can learn all kinds of things on TikTok and on YouTube and everywhere else. But the value of sitting and listening to and asking questions of older, wiser Christians is such an important thing for you to practice. Eventually, verse 48, it says, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Jesus says this, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? Referring to his divinity, right? That he was not just the son of Mary, he was the son of God. But they did not understand what he was saying. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and favor with men. In other words, he grew in wisdom, he grew intellectually, he grew socially, he grew spiritually, he grew physically. Let's take a little time now and let's ask two questions. I'm going to put them on the board. I'm going to ask you to make a line down the center of your paper. And on one side, I want you to start to think for yourself, where should you go for wisdom and advice? And then on the other side, I want you to start to think, where should you not go for advice? And let's start to get a few answers from you right now. Who would like to raise their hand and say, where would be a good place to go for wisdom and advice? And there's not just one answer, but let's get the ball rolling here. Right in the middle. Parents, okay, great. So parents, generally, they want what's best for you. They love you. They're going to give you wisdom because they want you to be protected. They want you to walk in the right ways. So good. All right, also in the middle. Pastor, okay, good. So pastor, a youth pastor, that's great. Okay, back in the red. Yeah, that's good. You wouldn't go for advice on how to use machinery in a wood shop from somebody who didn't have some experience there, right? So when it comes to seeking advice on anything, it is helpful to go to people who've had some experience, who are a little bit older and a little bit wiser because they've been through it before. Good. All right, let's get a couple more. Right here. Grandparents, okay. I had some wise grandparents that I'm really thankful for. I learned a lot from them. Grandparents can be wonderful role models and places to get advice. Back there in the blue. Godly friends. Godly friends, yeah, okay. Key is godly people who have the same value system as you. People who believe the same things and have the same morals. I'm going to stop there. We could also add to the list counselors or therapists. We could add our cabin leaders here this week at camp. The list could go on, okay? Now let's go to the other side. Where do you think would be some generally bad places to go for advice? In the yellow right here. Social media, okay? We are bombarding our brains when we go on social media. And sometimes we miss the influence it's having on our lives and the messages that it's giving to us. Now, is social media all bad? No, I don't think so. But to base your decisions or your values on what you see on social media, probably less than the best place to go. Okay, good. Back there. Criminals? Sure. Okay. Let me make that a little bit broader. People who have shown that they live by a different value system or have chosen to make decisions that are hurtful to others. Good. In the blue. Okay. And he said celebrities. Now, again, I'm talking about generally speaking, but just because somebody is well-known or has a lot of followers doesn't make them a good place to go to for wisdom. Even the ones that sound really good, because wisdom is ultimately proven by actions. And when you can't see a person's everyday life, you don't know if what they're saying is just to get followers or if it's truly being lived out in their life. Good. Let's get one more right here. That's good. He said people who always seem negative. Let me expand that a little bit. You wouldn't want to go to a person for advice who has shown that they're untrustworthy or who has hurt you in the past or manipulated you in the past. Common sense would say don't continue to go back to that person on important things. I want you to continue this conversation in your cabins tonight because the quality of the sources that you look to for advice are going to shape your life in so many ways. If the only advice that you're getting is from random people on social media, it could lead you in a direction far from the best. The quality of your sources for how to live are going to be incredibly important and are going to shape how high school looks for you. Now, most importantly, I want to challenge you to first and foremost build your life on the wisdom of Jesus. Build your life on the wisdom of the wise king. Jesus is your ultimate example. Jesus is your anchor to evaluate what's right and wrong. Jesus can help you discern wisdom from foolishness. Jesus is your most inspiring hero. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, we'll put that one on the screen. Jesus says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." The teachings of Jesus and the example of Jesus are the time-tested recipe that leads to life to the fullest. In Jesus is the highest form of wisdom. So if you ever hear somebody say advice that doesn't match up with Jesus, come on, let's trust the king. Let's trust the creator rather than the created. Even if we like that person or respect that person or admire that person, because ultimate wisdom comes from the wise king. So let me reiterate the challenge. The real question is, how will you build your life? Will it be a random, whimsical journey or baking a cake with what feels right to you in the moment, or that you've seen others do in the past and thought it looked cool? Are you going to build your life based on what you think in the moment is right? Or are you going to build your life on the time-tested recipe of God's word and the example and teachings of Jesus Christ, the wise king? Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.